Oh, hey, how are you? Great to hear. Yeah, come in. Make yourself comfortable. Like a drink? Sure. There you go. Welcome to the Tech Lounge. Shall we begin? Hey, Kate, how are you on this fine day? We're getting bonus sun in October, aren't we?
I know. It's a bit of a surprise, actually. A bit of a sneaky surprise. An afternoon of some sunshine before it gets a little bit darker and a little bit colder.
And it's like every day everyone says, this is going to be the last day of sun. And there's another one.
What can I say? We're optimists.
Anyway, Kate, welcome to the Tech Lounge. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Make yourself comfortable. Would you like a drink?
I have one already. Thank you very much.
What is it? I can't. What are you drinking today?
It's black. I'm drinking Diet Pepsi.
Okay, so we are a week off of schedule, or 2 weeks off of schedule, because this is every other week on discussion topics. And the reason is, or the reasons are, exactly what we're going to talk about. And we want to talk about events. We've both been busy traveling to events. That's why we didn't really have an opportunity to record the show. Now, generally, I say generally because this is only the second episode, so it's very hard to say generally when it's only the second episode. But generally, we will pick a different topic each. But technically, we are speaking about the same topic. Weird, huh? Well, we're going to tackle it from different angles. We're going to talk about sort of tech conferences, tech events, the different types, and where the scene is at generally, I think, because that's where our heads have been for the past month or so, and where your head still is, to be honest with you. You still have more coming up. Before we begin, there's just a few people at the door who've got some things they want to tell you. Then we can get stuck in. If you'd rather not hear these interruptions, then please support the show. You can find details in the episode and show notes. Do you want to kick it off, Kate? Like, what's the sorts of events you normally go to? What do they call themselves? What's the vibe, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, Europe is no stranger to events. We have everything from sort of expos and summits to, I don't know, conferences and hackathons, I guess, if you want to go to sort of that level as well, trade shows. You know, there's a little bit of everything. I mean, and then I guess at the, you know, the lower end, you have very small events, like you could argue perhaps a meetup is an event as well. And so I think we're currently, in case it's not obvious, deep in the weeds of conference season right now. After the summer ends, the conferences accelerate here in Europe until December, I guess. So it's, you know, really busy. I think I've spent the last, at least 4 weeks out of the last five at events. So it's
don't well normally go this late into October, though, do they? It seems unusual. Usually October is not so busy. There's usually like a gap, and then November is the last gasp.
Yeah, gasp is about right. And I think that's how a lot of us feel by the time we get to those last events, that we are gasping.
So describe like the kind of events you would traditionally go to, the sorts of events you are traditionally invited to. What's the point? that's a broader conversation, but just on a high level, what's the point? What's the style? What's the topics of conversation?
Look, it depends on who you are. Most of the events I go to, there's a fairly consistent kind of, I guess, platform. So you're going to have, well, usually some world-renowned speakers that are draw cards. You will have some local speakers. There will be investors. There will be startups. There will be scale-ups. There will be, I guess, potential customers, and usually some ecosystem-related people, like there might be some government officials or, you know, I don't know, members of parliament, things like that, to people in, you know, very big enterprises that may be speaking, providing some information as well. And so I think, what I'm trying to extrapolate from that is there's a lot of reasons why people go to events, particularly the events I go to, which is around, you know, it could be meeting your fellow contemporaries, building those international networks particularly. All the events I go to are international events, meeting investors, meeting clients, really getting that opportunity to speak to people face-to-face. And I think we kind of learnt over COVID. I know I was in a situation where I was writing quite a lot about how to run online events and remote events. And I think whilst I think some of them were probably done quite well, a lot of us really miss those face-to-face interaction and that sort of informal networking that you get beyond, I guess, those more formal kinds of setups as well.
And I take issue sometimes with the word tech because people mean very different things by it. But at the tech events you go to, what's the general topics of conversation? What are people passing on knowledge about? You know, why do people go? You know, often you go as a media or a speaker, but if you're an attendee, what do you think people are trying to get as an attendee?
Okay, so, I mean, the events generally I go to are tech, yes, but they're primarily aimed around or kind of central to them is startups. Mm-hmm. So people that are attending an event with the aim of creating those business development opportunities, meeting investors, recruiting new staff, potentially connecting maybe to sort of people in the ecosystem that may be aspirational. Maybe it's an influencer or something like that. So, you know, when I say tech, it's often quite broad. Mm. Most of the events I go to, there will be multiple sort of tracks. For example, one might be deep tech or AI, one could be fintech, one could be mobility, or, you know, anything like that really.
And I think this is where I take issue sometimes with the term tech, because it's like, well, is a food delivery company a tech company? I don't think so. They just use technology. I don't know. To me, tech means talking about the technology that helps those companies run. I don't know. This is I wrote an article around this a long time ago around tech events, and everything is a tech event, but it's like saying, well, everyone uses computers now. That doesn't make everybody a tech company. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's a difference between a software event versus a larger ecosystem event.
Okay. Yeah. But this is – so we're actually going to back and forth a little bit, I think, in this conversation as opposed to how we quote-unquote normally do it. So I traditionally tend to attend, woof. I guess maybe we should be more precise and call them a developer events. Sure. So generally in this case, the talks are implementation talks, talks on tools, talks on processes, this kind of thing. And generally speaking, it's more hands-on, it's demos, it's the bits and pieces. There may be a little bit of discussion around how a product or a company fundraised? I don't know.
Yeah.
Fundrose. I like that. But I don't think it's a real word, but I'm going to go fundrose.
Fundraising.
Fundrosed. And maybe the keynotes might be more inspirational, kind of encouraging people to follow like different architectures or practices, but it's generally very hands-on. And that, in my mind, is what a tech event really should be. But we can argue this one over. And I sort of feel like the formats of these two different sorts of events that we both go to are somewhat different.
Yes.
So generally speaking, the people giving the talks, apart from people who are like developer relations or something like that, it tends to be the practitioners, the people actually doing it. So, you know, some are good at presenting and others are not, but that doesn't mean they don't present good content. The business side of things is usually slightly less. It's a little bit more on the, here's this cool thing. And sometimes there's actually some use case in there as well. And yeah, they tend to be maybe less showy than tech and startup event, general tech and startup events, more focusing on knowledge sharing, that kind of thing. I may be a little drier sometimes. It depends a little bit on the actual event. And what's the kind of general vibe and feeling of the, I'm going to keep saying general tech and startup events. Like what's the vibe there?
It's pretty energetic. I think often I know the kind of events you're referring to, and I have been to quite a few of those events, though they're not my main kind of shtick, if you like. I think those ones are also what differentiates them perhaps is there's a lot more teaching and learning, maybe, I'd say, whilst a lot of tech events I go to primarily will have workshops. They are more to do with the business development, things like fundraising, marketing, stuff like that, whereas yours are often about you know, using software and things like that. So it's often demos and so forth, which I think is a different thing. So with mine, I think there is a an element of enthusiasm. I think people are a very big reason people go to these events is networking. Mm. Whereas perhaps with the ones you refer to, there may be more about that learning and development. Mm. For example, your boss sends you to an event, something like that. Whereas with mine, it's often the bosses that are going. So they're going with particular aims that are about people. And so the conferences are really trying to facilitate ways for people to talk and engage and meet each other. Mm. And as a response, you'll find often that, for example, talks might be slightly shorter. They might be more diverse. They'll cover a lot of different topics, and they may indeed be more high level than perhaps at other conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think diversity is definitely something we could say is a difference between these two events. Mm. The developer tech events tend to be more men, and the general tech and startup a little more mixed.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to say it's more women necessarily, but there's maybe more women.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a very strong commitment to have a diverse number of attendees, and particularly people that are represented on the stage and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it depends, of course, how big a conference is, where it's located and so forth. Yeah. But in general, people are really trying to meet those kind of targets.
Yeah. And what would you say, you give me like the event on your regular calendar that summarizes or epitomizes most this style of event?
That's a hard one. I mean, they go from small to big to very big. So if we look somewhere in the middle, we might pick something like TechChill, which is a conference that goes over a couple of days. It has talks. It has, you know, there'll be parties beforehand and afterwards. There will be side events, and that is something that's definitely grown since the time I became a journalist. You know, people will literally go, you could technically go to an event and just go to side events if you chose, you know. And I would actually argue that for some people that is the most beneficial thing they can do, particularly if they're low on an income and they don't want to pay to go to events. You can definitely be quite strategic about this stuff, and I'll go into that in a bit more detail about why or why not people should go to events and how they can really get that benefit if they're going as a startup, for example.
And I think for me, on the bigger end, the Linux Foundation events, KubeCon, LinuxCon, although I've not been for a little while, are probably the epitome of it. On the smaller scale, traditionally, there was an event called HeapCon I used to go to in Belgrade. That was a pretty good representation of it. And there's a whole bunch of like franchise ones like Voxt and DevOx, which are kind of the same event that split off at a certain point. Mm. But this is probably, I was recently at a Ruby event that was also a good example of it. Usually, like, depending on the size, one to several tracks. Definitely lots of code demos, maybe a hackathon, some side events. It depends on the budget more than anything. Often one or two people who are more respected in the space. So at the Ruby event, it was actually the original creator, plus some like key maintainers, that kind of thing. In the past, probably when I used to go to like DrupalCon, that was a good representation of it as well. They try to provide something for people who aren't developers, but it's often a side thought, we say. Whereas I would say for the events you go to, it's the other way around. It will sometimes be people doing more technical stuff, but it's rare.
Yeah. It's not the aim for the events I got primarily. You're correct.
Okay. So the reason we actually wanted to talk about this is I think we've both, like, I've always felt this a little bit, and I've already alluded to it, that the term tech event is a bit misleading sometimes. But we've both been to some events recently where we feel like these two that traditionally were very distinct styles of events have been merging somewhat for whatever reason. And we both were at one recently, and we will name names. I don't think there's any offense in saying this, which was Shift in Zadar, which was billed as a developer event, but it was pretty mixed. And also one that you haven't been to, which is We Are Developers in Berlin, which, as the name suggests, is very much a developer event, but was, holding itself and running the event very much more like the style of the Tekken startup event. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll come to that in a minute because you weren't there. So let's talk a little bit about the Shift event. And yeah, what was your general? I don't really want to get into negativity here. I kind of want to be just like, you know what? Because it was fine. It was fun. But we did both kind of think, is this necessarily a developer event? Like, what was your general feeling of why that was merging a little in the middle?
I don't think I felt like that at all, actually. I thought it was definitely a developer event. I think what they did was they had kind of a couple of main tracks. Mm. One was, you know, digging into the weeds of the code and so forth and that sort of side of things, where people, like you say, they do demos and so forth up on a big screen. And then you had the other event, which is perhaps more enterprise focused. And that was everything from fundraising to investments to, I don't know, case studies and things like that.
But don't you think the very fact you're saying that, isn't that necessarily demonstrating the fact that it was like two events squashed together?
I think it's smart. I mean, I don't know what other events are in Zadar annually.
No, true. That's a very good point, actually.
Assuming it's, and I assume it's a relatively small region in terms of people having the money to go to lots of events and having enough companies that have the time to do it, because it does have a massive time commitment, whether you're staffing a booth, whether you're exhibiting, whether you're demonstrating, whether you're speaking, whether you're attending as a journalist locally or otherwise. All this stuff is really time consuming.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that, and let's not underestimate, it's taking you away from your core job. Yeah. Unless you're hired as a, you know, if your job is as a, you know, a speaker or something.
And day
like
two
that.
Was a lot less busy, wasn't it?
And I think that reflects something as well, that people have less time for this stuff. Mm. I know that, you know, I think a few years ago, I used to see the same people at every single conference I went to in Europe. And often the conferences would actually recycle the same speakers that would do the same talks, which is kind of unfortunate. So you may see them two or three times in a year. I don't mean I would watch them two or three times do the same talk, of course. But, you know, you got really a feel that there was almost this conference circuit that a lot of people were doing.
Oh, there definitely is, yeah.
And they were doing it with, you know, like I said, other intentions rather than, say, learning or, you know, tutorial sort of based skill development or anything like that.
A lot of conference talks are soft sales, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
selling yourself, selling a product, selling a company.
I've seen ways that can be done really well. For example, some of the industrial tech conferences I've been to in the past, they make it very clear that if you want to get up and talk about your tech, your software, for example, or your hardware, you have to bring a client with you that will speak on the stage as well.
Yeah.
And that's something that's worked extremely well. You see some really, really interesting active cases, like, you know, someone on a farm who's using your, you know, your platform or something like that, and actually gives you that real lived experience rather than just the corporate spin.
Actually, as I say, we're jumping around a little bit here, I think, because we're kind of mixing these two topics, but probably one of the purest developer events I didn't mention in my roundup, just because it's sort of so on the extreme. Sometimes I think it doesn't really represent every other event. It's something like FOSDEM, where it's huge, actually. Yeah. It's actually way bigger than it may look like. It takes place in Brussels in the worst weather of the year, and it's all completely decentral organized. Mm. So people pitch dev rooms, and actually the pitching is happening at the moment. I have been preparing pitches, and then people pitch to the dev room. So the actual core organizers are very few. Mm-hmm. It's completely free. There are no tickets. And because of this nature, you get talks that you would never see, hardly any other event. Some of the strangest talks from some of the strangest people. And that's the wonderful thing about it, because they would never get a slot anywhere else where it was supposed to be commercial. And sponsorship is there, but it's extremely light.
Yeah.
And it is very frowned upon if you do any kind of promotion, basically. You know, you will not be invited back, kind of thing. So it's on the other complete extreme there. So, yeah, I don't know. I found the Shift interesting. There was also a lot of sponsor talks, which bothered me slightly. But I think something you said there about the location is interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people came from other places.
Yeah, I do
but
too.
But attendees were probably mostly from the region. Zagreb used to at least have some other events, fairly well-known ones, but I haven't seen them listed for a while. So they may have sort of fallen off a bit. And yeah, Belgrade, which is not so far, did as well. But it's a region that is somewhat underserved, but has a lot of developers. So I guess you're right. It's kind of like, well, this is the one time when we get anyone remotely connected together. So it is going to be a bit of a mixed bag.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And no, also, yeah. I'd also remind you that InfoBip?
Yeah.
Acquired Shift. So yes, they actually acquired the conference as a way to kind of, I don't know, expand their reach perhaps. And I think they did that quite positively.
Yeah.
Whilst, of course, they had their own talks. Of course, you know, it's their gig. They did actually provide some really good, you know, space for other people to talk besides themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and we know that there are plenty of events you could go to where it is literally just those speakers who've been able to sponsor and therefore they get a speaking gig.
But this is actually an interesting thing. So I think they are trying to run it. It's hard to say without knowing details, but I think it was an event that would probably break even. Not sure.
I don't have enough information to give you any input on that.
One thing they do, and this is where we get into the other world. So an event you didn't mention, which is fairly well known, it's probably the biggest event in Europe, is Web Summit.
I was saving that one.
Yeah, because this leads nicely into what I wanted to talk about. We are developers and shifted it a little bit, which, you know, the traditional developer event, even not at the extreme of something like FOSDEM, where everyone is equal because there are no premium tickets, so everyone is equal. Mm. You know, traditionally, developer events tend to be fairly flat. You have a speaker, maybe. You may have some media, but very rarely. You have organizers and you have attendees, and short of just not being able to get backstage or on the stage, it doesn't make a huge amount of difference, really.
Okay.
Whereas in the startup and general tech event, there's a lot more of this stratering of, I have an attendee ticket, I have a VIP ticket, I have an executive ticket, and all this kind of thing. And I find it a little uncomfortable sometimes, I must admit, because it does feel like, well, you're not good enough. You didn't have enough money. You know, you don't get that access. And sometimes it feels a bit eh. But also I understand, because for some of these events that we're talking about, this is how they make money. Mm. This is how they survive as a company. Correct. So there's a little bit of upselling here, there, and everywhere.
I would add with that there are reasons for that as well. For example, you know, if you get an investor ticket, it's because you're going as an investor and that you're going to go to specific events relevant to you as investors without necessarily having to organize them yourself.
I have an issue more with the like executive, senior, VIP.
Yeah, they're people that put money in usually. Yeah. I mean, it's, and I think this comes down to sort of the issue I would raise, a sort of overriding issue when we talk about conferences in general, is to be kind of clear about why you're going, like what's your aim in attending. If it's just to hang out with people, great. But if it's just hanging out with your friends that you can hang out with anytime, it might be a waste of ticket, you know?
Well, yeah. Okay, we're going, I'm saying off topic, we're on topic still. We're going off subtopic. In that, I think you and I, we tend to travel to events, quote unquote, alone. Obviously, we know people when we get there, but we are going as an individual. And often outside of people like us who are maybe doing it more, again, quote unquote, professionally, a lot of normal attendees at an event are going there with their colleagues. It's often corporate training budgets, this kind of thing. So the way they treat an event is a little different from what we are used to. Sometimes just going is actually the point.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I meant, you know, hanging out with people rather than participating in any of the conference.
Sure. And to some people, it's basically a jolly, and it's corporate training budgets, and that's...
Yeah, I think there's less of that now. I think budgets are kind of cut for that. I know.
I don't know about that. I would argue not. I would say that most job ads I've seen recently, they've cut other benefits, but the training budget is still there. But it's not a great deal. Often you're talking on a training budget, maybe $1,000, which...
See, that's an interesting point. You said training, which would mean if you go to a software event, sure. But if you went to something like Web Summit, I don't think that falls under training.
It does. There's a lot of people who go to Web Summit under training budgets.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay.
And actually this is... Web Summit to me is kind of the personification of where I find the mix of event is a bit odd, because Web Summit still bills itself as a tech event, as an event somewhat for developers, but actually the developer content is pretty light. in the grand scheme of things. And they really play up that whole struttering of tickets. You know, we have seen the difference, and for in our favor, the premium tickets will get you versus the non-premium, and there is a real struttering at that event, and it has leaked into other events, I think.
True.
And I don't know. So, and this is the strange thing I found with We Are Developers. They were, the content that We Are Developers is very good. It is still mostly technical. There's a lot of, in fact, it's a strange event because it feels a lot bigger than it actually is. They sort of squash things in. So it feels very busy. But then when you kind of step back and look, you realize it's not as big as maybe it looks. But there feels like there's a lot going on. And there is. But they do this kind of like strata ticketing quite a lot. And it is, again, because it's a company and that's how they make money. But it does feel a little odd at a developer event, this kind of. But,
I mean, do you not feel that people with more money should pay more?
But that's not the same thing. It's not income linked. This is an opt-in. And often, and I think this comes from the Web Summit world, you are encouraged to pay more to get better access to more important people, kind of thing. Yeah?
Sometimes.
I think
I'm not sure. I'm not intimately associated with what you get for each tier, so I can't really talk to that.
Yeah, it's hard for us to say because we're always,
because we have press passes, which press is completely different.
Is a different level, and it can really vary from event to event.
For example, Web Summit historically, there was a lot of backlash because they did have a ticket where you could pay more as a startup attending with a booth. And I'll explain about the booths in a bit. And then you would meet an investor, which is kind of like, you know, fairly problematic. And a lot of people took umbrage with that and they had to withdraw that because people just, you know, had a lot of problems with it.
And we should point out that being press at some of these events has different levels of experience as well. Some events treat press very well. Some events treat press as like a normal attendee and everything in between.
And I think it's, you know, I think the difference a lot of people don't realize with press is that in general, most journalists don't always just report on a conference. Like you don't go, I went to this conference and here's what I saw. More so you're probably there to maybe do some interviews that you would do independent rather than do a review or something of an event.
Yeah.
You know, there are some publications that will do that, but I think that's probably a little bit less now because of the sheer scale of events and the number.
And this is an interesting thing. I would say this year it feels that the kind of post-COVID lull of events, but also the post-increased costs and decreased in marketing budget that hit events maybe late last year, early this year. It does feel like this year things have come back quite a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
I would argue almost maybe too much in some respects. It feels like there's almost too many events again.
I mean, you don't have to go to an event.
No, but, you know, earlier in this year, you were talking about how some of the mid-tier events were not actually doing very well. And it sort of feels like that has turned around a bit as well. Like that's when I kind of argue, are there too many sometimes if there are some that just actually don't seem to be able to survive?
Yeah. And again, I think it really depends on what they're doing for an event, like how frequent is it. And we've also seen a trend, particularly this year, where a lot of the events here in Europe, at least two or three I can think of, have scaled to other regions, parts of Asia and Africa, for example.
Latitude.
As a way to, you know, I guess a lot of that is backed by sort of government initiatives and business development and, you know, it aligns with financial sort of, I don't know, directives or, you know, plans that are afoot to kind of build those connections.
Can I ask you an interesting question though? And I don't want you necessarily to name names because it maybe shows where people have failed or succeeded, but there have been some events that have or are, I don't necessarily want to say scaling, but expanding to different regions and seem to have been successful at it, and others that weren't. Could you say, like, what makes an event successful on a micro level, but also maybe on that ability to be able to expand successfully? Even Web Summit expanded to the US unsuccessfully, relatively speaking. So,
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I think it depends on where they're expanding to. For example, is there already competing events, particularly in the same time frame, like the same, you know, 3 months or what have you? What is the economic situation of where they're expanding to? Is there is there money for people to attend an event, particularly a very large event? I'd say also the thing I have seen when where that has failed has been that I think there's this fine balance. I mean, you do, how do you replicate an experience of one event, particularly if it's a very well-known local event in another region, for example, that could be culturally completely different?
Exactly. It's a very
And that's where it
becomes
challenging because, you know, what you're trying to offer in, say, Europe might not be what people want in America.
Yeah, and actually the I went to the Expanded Web Summit. I think it's still bouncing around a little bit, but I went to the one, they call it Collision.
Yeah, Collision.
In New Orleans. And I would argue that New Orleans is probably one of the few American cities that feels slightly European, you know, in that you can be on the street with a drink in your hand and no one is going to start shouting at you. Whereas in other American cities, that can happen. You know, a city like Lisbon, you're walking down the street with a beer in your hand, no one is really going to care. Even if it's, I don't know if it's actually legal or not in Lisbon, but no one is really going to care that much. Whereas in places like America and Australia, you do that and someone will be on your back very quickly.
Yeah, so that's a legal requirement, though. That's not to do with the conference.
No, but it's cultural. That's what I'm saying. Mm. It's a cultural experience. It's different.
Sure.
And public transport is another one. You know, even Lisbon, which gets completely overwhelmed by Web Summit, you can still get around. It's not as pleasant.
It has good public transport.
But it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't think many American cities could actually cope with that, without everyone, half the people being in Ubers, you know.
Well, you have something like CES where it's completely different. It's a consumer electronics show. It's spread across these vast, very large venues that are all separate from each other. And, you know, for most attendees, I would imagine, unless you're exhibiting, you don't really have a central base. Mm-hmm. So you're going to spend a lot of your time getting to and from different venues, not just, you know, a side event, but the whole thing.
That's which also is kind of, like South by Southwest was the same, but I think that's the intentional part. South by Southwest feels a bit more like a European event actually because people are moving around.
I mean, I think when events expand to other regions and what goes wrong, I think the other thing I'd highlight based on speaking to people organizing an event that scaled and maybe wasn't as successful as they hoped, was that you're also relying on local experience, local people with the skills and the bandwidth to take it on, and that people will do the tasks, I guess, when you're effectively working remote for people that, you know, that they will do the tasks that you're asking them to do. Yeah. And you may have a situation where, you know, you hire people to work on the, you know, the local version in their country. They don't necessarily like what you have to say.
Yeah.
And that could cause its own conflict as well. So things like that.
And actually, interestingly, talking about expansion, I mentioned South by Southwest. It's expanding to London. It's going
the other way. Yeah.
And I must admit, it's weird because
very strange.
South by Southwest in Austin, it's in March. The weather in Austin is still good in March. But I think it's in London not in good weather. And I mean, I love London. I was born there, but it's a very different vibe to Austin. Yeah. I'm intrigued to know what it's going to be like. Maybe I should try and get a ticket because I'm fascinated to know how it's going to work.
Yeah, I'd be curious too. I mean, I know going to our TechEU Summit in London, you did definitely get a feel that it was more of a business event for a lot of people.
Yeah.
There are a lot more kind of people in business attire, I guess, which is not something you see so much in Berlin, perhaps, or other regions.
Yeah.
I mean, you can wear what you want, obviously, people were treating it as part of their schedule. So they might go for half a day, leave and go to a meeting or go to a work event and then come back or vice versa. So it was very different.
Yeah. Now, we talked a little bit about stratering of attending events. There's something interesting that InfoBip did this fairly well. Web Summit does it a little as well. And I'm going to use this as a route back into a little bit about talking about online events as well. There is, you know, often these events, unless they're taking place in their region, in the Europe, in the US, in Australia, to a lesser extent, et cetera, you know, these events are usually excluding a fairly large portion of the world as well because of expense, because of visas, more crucially, you know. And InfoBip tried quite hard because of their shift program to invite some people from, not many, but still, some from African countries where they run these programs. Web Summit does it a little bit, but it is
Tech Chill did it as well.
Yeah.
I've seen Web Summit obviously does it, and also Slush. So I think it's become more.
But it's still a small group of people.
Well, it's expensive.
Exactly. But so this is an interesting thing. Online events, one of the positives was that the door was really open.
Mm.
Time-wise allowing, of course.
Yeah,
of course. It was really open to anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always sort of get this feeling about a lot of the events we go to. It's like they do still exclude a lot of people. And visas are actually a bigger problem than you or I may
notice. Yeah, no, I know. I know very well.
Yeah.
Working for an international company.
Yeah. Yeah, true. So, yeah, what's your feelings on that? Like what could we do? I saw some events offer like solidarity tickets and things to support people. That doesn't change visas, of course, but in terms of finances, it can make a difference. You know, how can we use some of that top dollar to benefit the people who will find even the lowest ticket price unaffordable, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly scope for companies who maybe want to put something forward. They can buy tickets. They can buy solidarity tickets, mm-hmm. like you said. There's certainly scope for reduced price tickets. I think I would also always say to people, don't underestimate the value of volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming you can afford to get to an event, maybe it's a local event, for example, volunteering is a great way to not only see an event, but also get some work experience where you can, you know, put it on the CV and maybe do a little bit of networking while you're there.
Mm.
So I think, and I would say as well, and this kind of ties into some of the stuff I want to talk about that I haven't really discussed yet, you can certainly be involved with an event without attending. So you can go to the side events. You can be if you're quite strategic, you can do that quite well. And secondly, I'd add with that a lot of the events, if not most, will invariably record the sessions. So you will be at some point be able to listen to those.
Yeah.
It's often live streamed even now, but they will often have them even a little bit later in the year.
I think this is an ideal passage into my actually, we should say hallway, because the hallway track is always the one that is spoken about. This ephemeral track that doesn't really exist, but it's where most people get the real value. I know some people, generally in America, because America, I'm sorry, we love you, but a lot of American culture is very individualistic, whereas Europe tends to be a little more, just because of the nature of apartment living and et cetera, tends to be more communal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily saying one is good, one is bad. I'm just, this is kind of a thing. I know a lot of, especially Americans, who basically say in-person events are dead. The future of events is online.
Oh, really?
And or hybrid. And generally hybrid is seen as a lesser of two evils, because usually hybrid means the online people are kind of almost forgotten about somewhat. I only ever hear this from people in the States, I will say that. And sometimes it's geography in America. Sometimes it's this more individualistic culture. But I would say from looking at this year, especially, I really don't see that. I feel like in-person events have come back 150 times. But is there, is there any value in these online events still?
I have to say it depends. Like,
Oh, sure. That's always the answer.
And it depends whether you're participating in real time or remotely or, further down the track. I think one of the bigger problems, like I actually wrote a white paper on it for a client during COVID on this very issue of how to run a remote event and the pros and cons and so forth. And the big things that were coming up was, what is the value add to your sponsors?
Mm.
How do you price an event? Mm-hmm. How do you get people engaging in a sponsor brand? And, there was often these sort of slightly nonsensical ideas about VR and AR. And, they really just excluded a lot of people that didn't have the hardware, or the impetus to sort of set those sorts of things up. I think there's also the challenge of how you engage with speakers, how the media can participate in an event, because it can become very, just another we always, I've been to two webinars this week. Like, we're always at webinars anyway. And it kind of feels like another thing you have to do.
Recreating that hallway track is often a challenge.
Yeah.
I have attended
the social
events,
element.
Although they have this weird interface where you like move yourself from a virtual table.
Yeah, no one's going to do that.
Like, they do, but no one really.
No one wants to do that. People, the only people doing it are the people who've been roped in by their work and they have to do it.
That's
I don't know anyone that would choose to do that.
There definitely are some. I don't really want to get too deep into this topic, but there are people who don't want to attend in-person events for whatever reason. And to them, it's the option. So, yeah.
But I mean, I would argue that, I mean, you don't need that now because a lot of, I would say probably this year, most of like the apps, like all, most of the events have an app now that has that kind of networking capacity built into it. So you can arrange meetings.
You ever use it, Kate?
let me finish. If you'll let me finish. I use it, yes, under sufferance, but more successful, I would argue, are the WhatsApp groups and the Telegram groups, which are often informally gathered where, you know, a few people will start a group and then everyone adds people. And they seem to be, you know, particularly for journalists, investors, people like that, they seem to work very well.
I take issue with them, I will admit.
Them very exclusionary.
I find them exclusionary because you have to know about them, which is always a barrier to entry for people. I am very much into not allowing too much for inner circles and outer circles because someone who first time at an event and who's maybe there on their own has no knowledge of these things and they follow the official channels and nothing happens. And all this stuff is happening that they don't know about. And I find it a little unfair sometimes. I also find that almost all of these private channels, there's always like a, let's see, I feel like I need to come up with a cunning an acronym for this, but like how long will it be till it just descends into self-promotion? And they almost always do.
Yeah, fair comment. And I think there is a bit of that as well. I mean, I think it depends on the people. And, you know, it's people often doing it who, you know, less motivated to use an app, particularly if all you're getting with an app is meeting requests and it becomes another pressure for something you have to do when you go to an event rather than just enjoy the event. So I think it varies. And look, I would add as well that one thing I have seen at in-person events, so maybe not so much the virtual events that we were alluding to, is there's been quite a bigger push away from just the, you know, the after parties that are just booze and techno or loud music. Because I think some of the events that have a little bit more, maybe more organizers or more time or more space for venues are doing things like they'll be doing morning stuff, they'll be doing a breakfast, they'll be doing, like, was it KubeCon we went to that had, like, instead of the techno, it had like, art classes and things on?
Yeah. It's weird, though, because I think Linux Foundation especially does tend to do this more.
Because that was great. They are
huge events and they have much bigger budget, which helps.
But the thing that
bothered me about it was that they made a very big effort for all this, but not a particularly large percentage of people took it up.
Maybe, but I mean,
it's not the event's fault. It's like a people problem.
Hang on. But the people that attended, I think, were very positive. I really liked
it. Yeah, but it feeds back a little bit into that, what we were saying earlier, the solidarity ticket. It's like, well, you know, if it's covered by budget and a small percentage of people benefit from it, that's okay, isn't it?
But who benefits from the techno after party?
A lot of people, Kate. Just because we don't like them doesn't mean people don't. It's the same thing whereas I watch people eating and a number of people just eat nothing but yellow food. And I'm like, how could you? But that's what people like.
I guess what I'm saying is I applaud conferences that try to do something different.
Definitely.
Or provide the capacity for potential sponsors or partners to create their own events.
Yeah, and we should call out the ones that do. Linux Foundation on the bigger events usually does a very good job of doing that.
KubeCon does it very well.
Also, back in the past, DrupalCon. And one thing I will say about the Drupal community, because I have not been in the Drupal community for over 10 years, and they were doing it 10 years ago.
Mm.
I remember going to, actually when it was in Amsterdam, they booked privately, like three museums, and you could go around instead of going out for drinks and stuff. And that was over 10 years ago they were doing
that. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
So, you know, let's call out the ones who do make that effort, because it is nice. And especially it opens up that door, that cultural door again. A lot of people, for whatever reason these days, are drinking and whatever till the wee hours of the morning is not something they want to do. So it gives a social aspect for them too, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it comes down to that whole idea about, you know, being clear about what your motives, why you're attending an event, what do you want to get out of it, particularly if you're a startup, for example, making sure that you've made preparation. You know, you should be booking in meetings a few weeks in advance. You should be finding quiet spaces. You'll be able to do those because they're probably not going to be the venue. And that, as journalists, we know that's one of the biggest problems that we find.
Yeah.
You know, actually,
you make an interesting point there, because like at some of the big sales events, like IFA, Mobile Congress, even KubeCon, but we've also seen it at the events like Web Summit, where there's maybe one or two people who are running the entire company, not just the booth. You know, often you will see a company won't even have a booth. They'll just book a meeting room or there'll never be anyone at the booth because they're doing other things, which are probably more important for them. And it's kind of weird to see. But yes, you're right. These are people who've said, well, this we have got in the door, but actually running a booth is not the most important thing to us. Meeting with people, and like IFA is a classic example. You know, some Chinese OEM company meets buyers from MediaMarkt or PC World that pays for the entire ticket. For
100%.
I don't know how many people. Like, why bother having a booth if that's how you make your income? You know, that kind of thing is something that I think a lot of people forget about. You know, if you are selling, sometimes you don't need a booth.
So I think it's really important that, you know, that you're really organizing those sorts of things. I think there's kind of this idea perpetuated that all the investors are going to walk the exhibition floor, particularly those very large, crowded events. Yeah. I can tell you it doesn't happen, unfortunately. And I think startups that go thinking it will happen are probably a little bit deluded, unfortunately. And that's where
I do, but I'm not that important.
You're not going to give someone $5 million, are you?
not today, no. Maybe tomorrow. But
you know, but even stuff like, you know, that is where, for example, your company could facilitate, a very small side event, for example. That could be a way to bring people in, you know, a few cases of beer or what have you. I think even things like wearing your work t-shirt is really important if you're trying to promote your company, or a badge or something, even if you're not, you don't have
Don't make them too corny though.
Yeah, something cool. You could, conversely, I don't know if it's such a thing now, but I often used to advise people to be active on social media during a conference.
That's a whole other conversation. We should talk about social media another time, because social media has, and around events especially, has changed massively.
Yeah, I think so too. But you know what? I think probably the biggest thing you can do if you go to events is that follow-up. You know, like if you're collecting email addresses or, you know, business cards, I guess, back in the day, or LinkedIn connections, that you actually do something with it. I know, as a journalist.
How much success do you have with that? Because I tend to find a lot of people I meet at events who we say we're going to follow up, I never hear back from them.
I've actually started a different system. I used to just add people to LinkedIn, but then I forget them because there's so many people on LinkedIn. So what I do is I keep a separate note, which is people's email address. Yeah. And these are the people I'm going to follow up. And often it's just a, hey, good to chat you to a conference, keep in touch or something like that.
Yeah.
Or what have you. I mean, I think it's kind of, that's on you, depending on what your motives are. Oh, but
if they don't get back to you, there's only so much you can do.
Well, I mean, yeah, and that's life. You know, people have different things going on, different priorities. But, you know, don't spend all your time during that hard networking, you know, spending the time going to an event and then not really do the last mile.
Well, I think I certainly started this conversation with a distinct agenda that maybe you didn't agree with, and that's totally fine. We can disagree agreeably. I do feel like, events this year have changed a bit, but maybe because you didn't go to as many of the quote unquote developer events as me, maybe you haven't seen it change as much as I have, because I felt like those events have changed a bit, whereas they're becoming more like the events you go to. So maybe you don't see that change so much, or maybe it's just me. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think events, I feel like something you've reiterated several times in this conversation is very valuable. Go to events with a purpose, for whatever reason, as an attendee, as an exhibitor, as a speaker, et cetera, et cetera. no event, unless it's in your home city, is cheap to go to. Mm. So definitely have a motivation for going. And also, most importantly, have ways of recognizing if it was successful or not, because that's often a whole other issue. It's like, well, was it worth it? I don't know.
Good question. How do you assess the value of an event?
I mean, on the flip side, of course, I would say, you know, if you do just have a budget or you just feel like it, you know, you can pick events based on, have I been to this place? Mm. I'd like to visit this place. Mm. It's an excuse. Yeah. That's often how I pick a lot of my events, to be honest with you. And yeah, as you said, volunteer. They're always hungry for volunteers, especially always. The community run ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't underestimate the value of volunteering in general, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to, I think Slush has volunteers not from Helsinki quite often. Oh,
they do, definitely. Yeah. I think they all do these days.
Yeah. So events are good. They can be expensive. So be considered about what you want to do. I would also say the other thing, and there was a group of people solidifying around this in the past, something I always try to do, and I know you do too. Actually, the Write the Docs community had this, the founder of that had a phrase that he would always propose at the beginning of events. It was called the Pac-Man model, because a lot of people do go to events in groups and they hang out with the people they know. And there are people who go on their own. Mm. And his Pac-Man model is like, always have an opening, basically, like Pac-Man. Like when you see someone on their own, invite them in. Or I always gravitate towards odd numbers of people so I can even the group and that kind of thing. Mm. Like there are a lot of people at events who are either on their own or socially awkward. And even though it can be tiring for you as well, like do actually engage with them. Even if you have nothing to gain from it, it's just a nice thing to do sometimes because next time you could be that person.
I agree. I think it's a good thing to do. And at the very least, you may be able to introduce them to someone else.
Exactly.
You know, that's often a win for everybody.
And it's an event. It's also totally fine to walk away from someone.
I think it's okay to not, if you choose to not socialize, that's okay too.
Yeah.
If that's your thing, that's fine.
Exactly. All right. So, Kate, you have more events this year coming up.
I do, yes.
How can people find and stay in touch with you?
Oh, gosh. It's hard to know these days, isn't it? Do I mention Twitter X?
I'm not sure
I should. I am on Threads, Kate M. Lawrence. I am on LinkedIn under my name. They're probably the main two ways to contact me, and both of which you'll find my email anyway. So I don't need to give you my email.
This podcast will go out in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. So if you want people to be able to find you, where will you be in the next couple of weeks?
I am going to Barcelona next week for a couple of events. Mm-hmm. I will put a couple of links of some events I'm going to. Maybe that will be the easiest way to do it. Okay, Chris, how can people contact you?
You can find me, christianchiller.com, and then Christian Chiller or Chris Chinch on most social things. Mm-hmm. Events-wise, I have a little bit of a break. I don't think this episode may be out in time. I'm going to be at the Wired Energy event in Berlin tomorrow, Thursday the 10th. This episode may come out that day, so I don't know if it's too late.
Very nice.
If you happen to be into role-playing games and in Berlin and could somehow find a ticket because it sold out weeks ago, I'm also running the Berlin International Role-Playing Convention.
Slight
topic, but hey, I cross over. Tech events-wise, I've lost my train of thought as well.
Web Summit?
Yes. I'll be at Web Summit. Again, whenever it's on, middle of November sometime.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right,
I think that's it for me for the year, to be honest with you. I have to run off my own bat more than Kate does, so I have to be more considered about which events I go to.
Sure. Yeah.
All right then. I don't know what we'll talk about next time, but thank you for joining me in the lounge, Kate. This lounge was maybe a little more, maybe we were sitting at two ends of the couch as opposed to sitting in the middle and agreeing a little, but that's okay. Yeah. Lounges are for deep and meaningful conversations.
I think so. And I think that's it's good to have diversity in a podcast. Otherwise, you just get a chamber echo of people with the same opinion.
So that was it. That was our guest today. Thank you very much for joining me in the Tech Lounge. I have been Christian Chiller. If you want to know more about Tech Lounge, head on over to christianchiller.com or please tell your friends about us. It's quiet and cozy in here, but the more listeners, the merrier. You can find more at christianchiller.com/podcast or in the show notes or episode notes, wherever you found this podcast. Thank you very much for joining me, and you're most welcome next time.